Welcome to the Reformed Deacon, a casual conversation with topics specifically designed to help local Reformed deacons. There are nearly 1,000 deacons in the OPC alone, so let's take this opportunity to learn from and encourage one another. We're so glad you could join us. Let's jump into our next episode. Hi, my name is David Nockla, and today's episode of The Reformed Deacon is one I recorded a few months back when I traveled to Namibia, which is located in the southern part of Africa. I was there serving as part of the OPC's four-man delegation to the 10th quadrennial meeting of the International Conference of Reformed Churches, known as the ICRC. We'll talk a little bit about what the ICRC is further into the episode. In this episode, I'm meeting with 6 of the 7 members of the ICRC's Diaconal Committee, a committee of which I'm also a member. As you listen, I think you'll quickly come to understand the importance of this group of like-minded men coming together to discuss worldwide diaconal needs, especially with the current events happening around the globe. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Hi, everyone. My name is Peter Boone, and I'm from South Africa, the neighboring country from Namibia. I'm ministering as a pastor in Pretoria, the capital city, and I'm a member of the Free Reformed Churches in South Africa. Recently, I had the privilege to visit Philadelphia with staying with David. It was a huge privilege to be over there, and I'm experiencing that the bonds between us and you guys there in America are becoming more and more intensive. So we are very thankful for that.
Hi, everyone. My name is Aaron Bae. I'm from South Korea. And I represent Koshin denomination. And currently I am teaching as a full-time professor at Koshin University. And I have majored Intercultural Studies, formerly known as Missiology. I'm glad to be here.
Greetings from Namibia, everyone. My name is Rick Postma. I come from Canada, not too far from Toronto, but an hour out of Toronto. I attend the Brantford Free Reformed Churches, and I'm a part of Word and Deed Ministries.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Dirk van Garderen. I am from New Zealand and a member of the Reformed Churches of New Zealand. I'm a retired pastor now and have been a part of the Diaconal Committee since its inception about 9 years ago.
Hi, everybody. I'm Geert Dreyer, also a retired minister from the Christian Reformed Church in the Netherlands. I'm serving from this conference, ICRC conference, as a member of this committee.
Fantastic. And missing from our group right now is Chris Borsma, who's from Brazil. His flight got canceled, so he's not with us. But represented here is how many continents? We've got 5 or 6 continents. We don't have Antarctica, but...
Well, actually, there is Europe, there's South Africa, or the African continent, Asia, yep. Australasia, North America, and South America. So only Antarctica is missing, but they're the frozen chosen that live there.
You still need a finger.
So let's talk a little bit about ICRC, like what it stands for and why it exists. And maybe Peter, would you be willing to just explain what ICRC is? I don't think it's the International Confederation of
there we
the
have
Red
the
Cross
guy.
Or whatever it is, the Committee on Red Cross.
I've been interested to hear it referred to in a worship service this morning as the International Council of Reformed Churches. We are not. We're a conference. And by virtue of that name, we are trying to say that we meet together to confer rather than to supervise each other. Might be one way to describe it.
I learn something from Dirk every day. Yeah, I just learn something.
You want to add anything to that, Peter?
Yeah, it's very true what you say. That's also the essence also of Reformed Church polity. We don't have superstructures, but that we come together in meeting together in a conference, whatever you want to call it. And the ICRC, the International Conference of Reformed Churches, was instituted, I think, in the 1980s. And since then, it has continued to grow. Every conference, after every 4 years, new federations are added, this conference also. Unfortunately, this was the first time that a federation is leaving us now, but for the rest, every time new ones are added. So we are now at about 39 federations all over the world. Yes, yes. And so churches joining, they have to subscribe to the Reformed Confessions, whether the Free Forms of Unity or the Westminster Standards. So those are the preconditions. And if you want to join as a member church, you have to be sponsored by two existing member churches that can attest to your orthodoxy and who you are as a church federation.
What would you guys say is the main purpose of the ICRC conference?
Well, basically, the conference, when we actually meet together, it's a great opportunity to share together, to get to know each other. My feeling is often that the most important aspect of the conference are the meals.
The fellowship.
And the fellowship around the meal table. That's what I meant.
But too focused there.
But at the same time, through the years, the ICRC has developed certain emphases, and there are four of them, basically. There is, of course, the emphasis on organizing regional conferences, usually by continent. There is, secondly, the emphasis on missions, which is probably the oldest of the emphases. And in the last number of 8 or 9 years, two other committees have been added, one of which is the Theological Education Committee, which is focusing on how we can cooperate and stimulate theological education in our member churches. And the fourth committee is ours, the Diaconal Committee.
Good. Well, that's a good segue. I think that just focusing now on the Diaconal Committee, why don't you talk about that a little bit, Dirk?
Well, the Diaconal Committee originally received its mandate at Cardiff in Wales. I think that would have been 2014 or 13, one of those two. And there, as our mandate, we received exactly the same mandate as was given to the Missions Committee, except that the word Missions Committee was crossed out and Diaconal Committee was put in its place. So there was a sense in which the understanding at that point was somewhere along the direction of giving or helping diaconal aid, especially to those countries in the world where this was more necessary. We've always been adamant that we are a diaconal committee and have seen our task somewhat differently from that original mandate, and we've spent a lot of time on this. So the emphasis now is much more on doing two things fundamentally. The first is this communication amongst the member churches when diaconal needs and where diaconal needs arise and how we can perhaps coordinate the giving and the receiving. So in a sense, let the left hand know what the right hand is doing in this particular place. So it's all about taking all of our diaconal organizations in the member churches and providing a means in which we can share together. The second emphasis has been much more on the development of the task of the deacon. It needs to be said, I think, at any rate, that in the last 50 years, there's been a lot of deep, reflective thinking on the nature of the diaconal office. Some churches, I think we're really behind as far as that's concerned. And there have been a number of member churches of the ICRC that have done a lot of hard work in developing the whole concept of what diacony or diaconal ministry is all about at local church level. So our committee has worked hard to put some form of statement together, and we are hoping that this will end up in the hands of the various diaconal courts of our churches, also in the OPC, I suspect, and that we can in that way encourage and stimulate what the diaconal office is all about. In some ways, the diaconal office for many years has been the orphan, simply in the sense of, okay, you're the guys that turn the lights out and make sure that the offerings are taken and counted and then given out. But diaconal ministry is much broader and deeper than that, and we would encourage your deacons to have a close look at the statement that we've prepared.
Yeah, I think we wrestled. The first point I would like to modulate a little bit, Dirk. I think we wrestled with that initial sense in the mandate of coordinating response to, let's say, disasters, that kind of thing. In the end, we concluded that we're not in a position to do the coordinating just because that would be almost having some full-time people. In the end, after wrestling with that for quite some time, I think we came to the conclusion that we use the phrase connect the dots. So if we know that there's a need over here in this part of the world, and we know that this church is working there, let's make sure those two are talking. But then to extract ourselves from the loop, as it were. So we're in the business and the church sanctified business. Yeah, so we're in the interested, we want to make sure, and I think that's especially Dirk's point, is that there isn't a disconnect. So there can be real needs over here in this continent, and lots of federations unaware of the needs of our brothers and sisters in that. So we want to make sure, we're almost like the switchboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, networking.
Networking, yeah. So we're between each other. They're no longer part of the conversation, as it were. Like, you know, the switchboard operator, right? Connected in. We'd like to be kept informed, but we're not in the middle of the process. So that's just the qualification there.
Anybody want to talk about an example?
I think the whole situation with Ukraine is an excellent example. When you would go to the ICRC website, you will find there a letter that we have written as Diaconal Committee to advise all the member churches what they should do if they want to help and reach out to Ukraine. It's not that we are going to receive funds and distribute the funds, but what we simply did is that we listed organizations that are trustworthy and that can help in Ukraine, that have the contacts, and that member churches can contact them and give their donations to them. So that's, I think, an excellent example of our networking task.
Yes, we also had the COVID situation, a number of scenarios where we were able to connect various organizations or churches to a real need in different places, including India would be an example. One of the members of the ICRC really was struggling, and a few of us were able to connect with them.
You know, I think back to the Macedonians receiving and sending funds to for the famine in Jerusalem. And in a sense, I mean, very far away, right? They didn't have internet and all that type of stuff. But that was one church in one region, you know, ministering to the needs of another church. And in a way that we facilitate a little bit the connecting of our sister churches, like-minded churches in one part of the world with like-minded churches in the other part of the world. And
it's interesting how the world has become almost like a global village, in a certain sense. Yeah. Like, that would be unheard of not so long ago.
Yeah,
we would hear months later of suffering in India or suffering in Africa. Months later, now we're in a position to hear very quickly.
To hear, and now even these avenues, you know, it becomes a responsibility of ours to help our member churches to be able to connect.
Yeah, and to give their diaconal work more meaning for themselves and their environment.
You might be interested to know how we as a committee function, living as we do in six different continents. What's become so interesting, especially in the last number of years, is how easy it is now to communicate. And so we had to do a lot of juggling time-wise in order to be able to organize a Zoom meeting. So I might be meeting a day ahead of you while I'm in New Zealand. You Americans are about 18 hours behind us, I think. And then our brother in Korea has to really wake up early at 6 a.m. to do it. And the brothers in the Netherlands and South Africa are midnight. So it's been wonderful that this group of, well, we're here with six, but our seventh member in Brazil is missing. But we've gelled as a group together, and there's quite a range of expertise and experience amongst us that has been mutually enriching for us personally, but also, we believe, for the members of the ICRC.
It's really neat to see tomorrow's sun shining through Dirk's window.
Yeah, that's right.
As I look at yesterday, or you know, the previous afternoon sun.
You think about what we'll be having for breakfast as well.
in the afternoon. And Peter sitting in the dark.
Things always in the dark.
What are ways you think that the Lord's blessed our efforts? You know, we've been, some of us have been at this for 9 years, which is really hard to believe. But as you, and maybe, you know, Dirk, I don't know how many of you have experience with ICRC before a diaconal committee existed. How do you think this has been helpful for the, even for the ICRC as it considers its work?
Well, my personal view is that the creation of this committee gave the ICRC a focus on diaconal ministry, which I think is so very, very necessary, especially when we are dealing, as we are, with 39 different denominations spread around the world, and some indeed are very much in need of encouragement, both financially and also in terms of just instruction on the nature of the diaconal office. So this new committee that was then formed at Cardiff has begun to stimulate and to enable this kind of discussion to take place. And my dream and vision is that in the not too distant future, it might be possible to have, as a conference theme, for example, diaconal ministry. Mm-hmm. And in the broadest sense mm-hmm. of the word, I mean that, you know, in many denominations, mine, for example, the deacons were usually the younger men having their first experience of the office. And I've often heard the expression, you are apprentice elders. And I honestly believe that this is a complete misunderstanding of the nature of diaconia or diaconal ministry as it's highlighted and taught in Scripture. And the presence of our committee, I think, has created an awareness to think about this and maybe to act upon it as time progresses.
Perhaps I can share something personal. Being a member of the Diaconal Committee made me aware more and more of how important this office is that Christ gave to the New Testament church. And of course, I have studied a lot about deaconal ministry, especially because I was a missionary. But being part of this committee helped me even more to go to the essence and to learn more. And I think it's God providence also that it was led that way, that then all of a sudden COVID struck. And diaconal ministry was so necessary in the local church. So it was not me that proposed it, but our church, they came to me and asked, can we have this as a theme for this year, being a diaconal congregation, because we realized we need it. So, and then I was well prepared to take it up, thanks to my membership here. So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, and really how we function now as a local congregation compared to how it was, it's a world of a difference. And it's thanks to God. He led it in that way, and he even used COVID for that end. Yeah.
And of course, it's nothing new. It's something that is already in the church. In like this morning, we had a sermon in Windhoek South, and the sermon started with the sentence, "We will hear the word of Jesus Christ, and we will talk about putting that in practice and be holy." And then when you follow the sermon, these last words, although they were taken up in the sermon, they were not worked out. And that was a pity, according to me, from diaconal perspective. When you listen to a sermon as a deacon, you should always be aware that there is something that you hear about. How do I do that on Monday? And we always talk about that, but we sometimes forget to strengthen and to encourage the congregation that when we listen to the Word of God and we are prepared to be sent like we were this morning, that sending has also a focus, and it has to be given feet and hands.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background? I mean, we met first in 1988, and you were a diaconal missionary.
In the end of the 70s, I went to South Africa as a missionary. And there we discovered that building up the congregation was actually 50% of the work when we proclaimed Jesus Christ. And the people asked us, the congregation members asked us, but how do I do that in my life when I'm a woman who is suppressed by my man and not even allowed to go to church often because my husband says, you have to do my washing. And how do I proclaim Jesus Christ to him? And slowly and slowly, we discovered in the congregation that working and preaching on Sunday needs to be followed up by working on Monday. Yeah, that was time and again stressed in that congregation. And when I came back in Holland, slowly I went to the diaconal side of our church, and I felt very blessed that I could head the diaconal department and help to develop these kind of things.
If you were preaching that sermon,
yeah,
about what we do on Monday, what would you say? What would you say?
When Jesus Christ is telling us that we are people who are saved from sin, and when we strongly believe that we are saved, our lives have to be examples, fully examples, from Monday to Sunday of that saving grace. And saving grace that goes into every aspect of life. So it depends on your sermon and the focus of your sermon, what you will tell the congregation of that saving grace in this text and saving grace in this moment. Like the COVID situation, I think saving grace is that you should be very much aware that you're able to contaminate the whole congregation. So you have to be careful. Not because you are forced to by the government, but you are forced to by love for the other.
So as you listen to our interactions, one of the ways I've really been blessed on this committee is working with brothers from different parts of the world and different church backgrounds, like faith and practice, and yet a diversity that's there that, you know, we in our churches, we have different strengths and weaknesses. We have different emphases. And that's where I think as a committee, we've really learned from one another in our emphasis or lack of emphasis or how we nuance things. And even that's portrayed even in what Jay was just talking about. Aaron, you've been on the committee for 3 or 4 or 5 years, something like that. When you think about the committee and its work, what are your thoughts?
I think this working as a member of this committee, it provided me with a holistic view of the calling of the church. We normally think about the church and its work. We talk about the word of God and preaching the gospel. And I think Mercy Ministry or Diaconal Committee work is, I think it provides a balanced view on the calling of the church. And when we go to the gospel and in the early church history, the ministry of Christ, disciples and the apostolic church, they did not only spread the gospel, but also they did a diaconal work. So yeah. I think that's the biblical view of church's calling. And I think again, a diaconal committee has gave me a kind of new perspective.
Yeah. Good. One of the things we've been working on in the OPC is developing what we call a network of deacons. So you have the deacons locally. That's ultimately, you know, where, you know, diaconal ministry is very personal and local. But we have diaconal committee at our presbytery levels, classes, I guess, in the Reformed tradition. And then at the denominational level, we have a committee on diaconal ministries. And so diaconal ministry at each level, where needs can be passed up through the level, we've got a connectedness and that type of thing. And I'll just share with you to me, I see the ICRC Diaconal Committee as another level of that network of deacons. It's not just within the church, within our denomination, but it's even connected to the sister churches around the world. And again, I think Ukraine was a wonderful example of how that manifested itself, where, you know, the needs in one part of the world, you know, were being met and are being met by gifts from across the world, around the globe, all coming in and ministering to the needs of those who are going through a crisis. And to me, it's beautiful. And just the communion of saints and how that, I mean, that's where it gives our ecumenicity and our fraternal relations, it gives them feet. It gives them hands. It's tangible. I know you love me by your love. And how is love portrayed? It's through action and not just words. And that's the beauty of diaconal ministries. But I think that diaconal ministries in the fraternal realm just really, you know, ties us together in ways that, you know, words and going to each other's assemblies and stuff like that just is not, I mean, there's a whole another level of, and depth of our relationship. So it's just been beautiful to see. And I feel like, frankly, I think we've barely begun. I think we're still, as a committee, we've been doing this for 9 years, but we're still trying to find our way forward. And so just encourage our listeners to pay attention, keep an eye on what's going on, and we welcome feedback and encouragement as to ways that we can be, you know, working more together. And so thank you, brothers, for this time together, and I think it's been great. Look forward to seeing how the Lord will continue to tie us together as sister churches knit us together in that ministry of mercy.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for joining us. Go to our website, thereformdeacon.org. There you will find all our episodes, program notes, and other helpful resources. And please make plans to join us again next month for another episode of the Reformed Deacon podcast.